Even better than I was the last time, baby.
We back.
Well, well. Long time no see. Or here. We're back, y'all. And it feels so good. And strange and exciting. I don't know. I'm feeling all the feels. So much has changed since our last drop in 2022. But we are so back. And I'm so excited to share some new links in this beautiful chain we call hip hop. What have I been up to? Well, for one, your girl's got a master's, which I'm sitting here at my desk looking at my diploma, and it still feels very surreal. But yes, a master's in music from the Manhattan School of Music. You know, if a black woman gonna do anything, she don't get a degree hotter. If you remember, Link's abrupt end was due mainly to me being in grad school, researching, editing, self-producing. It was a lot to take on as a full-time student. Sure, once I graduated, I could have picked it back up, but I don't know, my heart wasn't in it. And why would I continue doing something that wasn't fun? It just didn't make sense at the time. Speaking of higher education, I have now been in academia as a professor for 2 years. This might be the biggest update in my life. I've learned so much by being somebody's teacher. When I first created Link, my research techniques were questionable. I would Google everything and use Wikipedia sparingly, which probably, you know, hindsight, sparingly is probably too much. But there were so many things I didn't know. Curiosity was my only drive. Now, as a person immersed in higher education, I'm constantly finding new approaches to this music and to these studies. But let's not get it twisted. Hip-hop, Black American music as a whole, is the voice and the song of people who make a way out of no way. Think about our ancestors, who were craftily planning their escape by singing songs like Follow the Drinking Gourd. Or even the drones of kids in the South Bronx who used electricity from a street lamp to plug in their boomboxes and DJ equipment. They weren't exactly picking up books to teach them how to do either task. There was a deeply intuitive wealth of knowledge within that gave them the results they were seeking. It wasn't until after they accomplished all they did that scholarly folks then studied, documented, and distributed their tried and true practices. I say all that to say this. While I am proud of my newfound resources, I will always allow my heart and spirit to guide me as it pertains to Link. After all, it's what got us here to begin with. Before our first full-length episode of the season, I wanted to take the time to not only reintroduce myself, but also reintroduce Link. If you notice, homegirl look a little different. She got a cute little makeover, courtesy of myself. In Canva. I'm no one's graphic designer, sure, but I would like to first amp myself up because I did that, ate that down. And I'll also want to talk through my thought process concerning Link this time around, why the visual aspect is so important to me, and what I hope to achieve throughout this season. In the first episode of season one, I spent some time telling you all about how I fell in love with hip hop as a young girl. And if you haven't heard that episode, if you are new to the Link community, welcome. But stop right here and go back and listen to season one. Just go listen to it. It's all right. What I didn't say, though, is that I have always been a secret admirer of the fashion industry. I love the fashion girls. Lindsay Peoples and Elaine Welteroth are my guiding lights. I'm currently writing the script while it is Fashion Week here in the city. And the energy is palpable. As a little girl, I remember collecting magazines like it was my part-time job. Teen Vogue, Essence, Nylon, 17, none of them were a match against young Jillian and a pair of scissors. Fun fact, around the fourth or fifth grade, I had a folder filled with nothing but magazine clippings of Beyonce. Another guiding light of mine. A few years later in high school, I moved my love for magazine clippings out from hiding in my Lisa Frank folder to being on full display up on my bedroom wall, which honestly feels like a rite of passage for the average suburban teenager. A few years after that, I found myself knee deep in the world of Tumblr, which if you know, you know. Shout out to Justin, shout out to Jade, shout out to Jupiter and Mars. Although I don't feel that my personal style is always a testament to this love affair I've had with fashion, I've always had a deep reverence for it and the people who dedicate their lives to it. I think the thing that enamored me the most about magazines as a child was the accessibility and storytelling that folks did through style. The ability to narrate a story, give a POV, all from intentionally or even unintentionally pulling a fit together to me is awe-inspiring. No, my little job at Justice and Beachwood Mall could not afford me the latest Jeffrey Campbell booties, which, again, you had to be there. If you know, you know. But it made a girl dream. Editorial spreads always had a way of transporting me to a place that was powerful and whimsical and unlike anything I could ever think to experience living in Cleveland. Now granted, diversity and inclusivity did not exist when I was growing up, so the dreams I was being sold weren't that accessible at all. However, the joy that I had as a teenager ripping out a page from 17 to glue to a vision board or curating the perfect series of posts for my Tumblr was everything to me. It felt easy and real. Fast forward to present day, my first year of academia was extremely rough. The full-time lecturing position fell into my lap, and to say that I wasn't prepared would be a gross understatement. There was so much of it that I just couldn't grasp. The philosophical jargon, the pressure of teaching at a technical university, not to mention the fact that I was the only Black woman within my department. I felt out of place and extremely isolated. The only thing that kept me sane during that time was that check. It was good. I miss it. It was that check and the community of students that gravitated towards me. Even if I didn't have all the right words, I knew the work I was doing was impactful because I was creating space and perspective and conversation concerning Black American music. I made this music and this culture tangible for my students. So, what does fashion and magazines and higher education and all of this have to do with Link? I'm so glad you asked. The first time around, I was just making Link off pure vibes. There was no direction other than having these thoughts that I wanted to get off and needed the space to do so. However, this time around, my intention this season is to make this work tangible, to make these stories told on this podcast feel as easy and digestible as the stories and photos 12-year-old Jillian found while rummaging through glossy pages. To make these lofty, sometimes elitist ideologies I discovered to glide off the tongue as easily as it is for the average HBCU student to recite dreams and nightmares. Happy homecoming, by the way. I want analysis to feel easy, and not only easy, but malleable. Link is a show that does not revolve around hot topics, nor is it a show that requires a JSTOR login. It is the Homies Academy. It is a soft place to land for those who just love music. I'm inserting an edit to the script that I wrote a few weeks back to add another anecdote because I love anecdotes. Recently, I decided to create a vision board. Now, naturally, I love Pinterest, right? I love Tumblr. I told you I had a folder full of Beyonce as a young child. So this was a task that I was over the moon to do. Here's a problem. New York don't sell magazines. I checked everywhere. I checked Target, Walgreens, CVS, small bookstores. Child, I even went to a bodega with magazine in the title. And the wall had built-in magazine sleeves, and there was nothing there. Now, maybe this is my Midwest showing, but I was honestly flabbergasted. I was taken aback. Like, where were the magazines? I just knew that Target was gonna have a magazine section. But it wasn't until I found my way to two separate Barnes & Nobles that I finally found the sections that I thought I was looking for. The first Barnes & Noble I went to was nestled in a shopping center in Westchester. It was very cute, very suburban. Their magazine section was fine. It was typical. It made my little suburban heart happy for the most part. But the second bookstore I went to was on the Upper West Side. And there were very little black magazines. I'm saying that with air quotes. Now, I told y'all that Lil Jillian had no problem with finding magazines and disregarding the race. But grown Jillian, post-Howard Jillian, power to the people Jillian. Oh no. I found two cover stars in that Barnes & Noble who were black, but both women that were of a lighter skin complexion. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Representation is representation. But I think in that moment, my heart was craving sameness. I wanted a cover star or a magazine that could meet me where I was. Now, has this become a millennial rant about how print is a lost art form that needs to be revitalized? Absolutely. But the bigger point I'm getting at is the feeling that I felt in that Barnes & Noble this past weekend was similar to the one I felt after being thrust into academia. I felt outcasted. But more than outcasted, I felt even more of a charge to create link. To not be concerned or consumed about having a seat at the table or not having a seat at the table, but to build my own table entirely. So we're back on this journey, and I'm so glad you tuned in for episode one. Y'all, for those who know, for those who were here season one, y'all know I struggle with a shoebox apartment, and we got a little update. I'm now in a slightly less noisy apartment in Brooklyn. But I'm excited to be in the space now. And so many wonderful things have happened in these last 2 years. And I've got so many wonderful things in store for this season. And I am glad that you all, new and old, decided to come for the ride. If my Canva plug wasn't enough, here's another gentle reminder that Link is a crew of one. As of now, Link is fully funded by, produced, edited, mixed, and researched by me, Jillian. This is quite the labor of love. So a share, like, comment, telling yo sneaky link, whatever, you spreading the word about this podcast would mean the absolute world to me. I'm so excited that you decided to come back or to join us for the first time. Like I said, our first full-length episode comes out in 2 weeks, and I can't wait to share all that I found with y'all. Until next time, y'all, stay, well, y'all, I don't know if everybody's black, so I'm not gonna say that, but stay up. See you soon.
Thanks again for tuning into Link in the Chain. The theme song was produced by Hype Alexander. All research, producing, and recording was done by myself, Jillian Grace. If you like what you heard in this episode, please make sure to like, share, and subscribe to this show. Thanks again. See y'all in 2 weeks.